sun. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right.
It's a little bit after 4 o'clock here on KDNK. I am Will with the Soper Sun, bringing you Everything Under the Sun, a little half-hour segment with the staff of the Soper Sun and whoever we can get to join us, which today are Bob and Kathy Ezra of the Crystal Theater and Gavin Dahl of KDNK, and also probably the person who sees the most films in any given year that I know personally. And we're going to, and we've got one more coming potentially, but we're going to be chatting about films, which, you know, is a very different medium from newspaper, but it is Oscar weekend. Sunday, they're going to be ostensibly deciding what the best pictures and the best cinematographers and the whole nine yards are. And I think everybody here has their own opinion of the Academy and their choices and how that system works out. So we're going to talk Oscars, but we're also talking our own assessment and experiences of some of these films. I think you two, Bob and Kathy, have seen mostly all of the films I've seen. because I see mostly what comes to the Crystal Theater. Anyway, so let's start with Gavin, because Gavin, you wrote a column for the second year in a row talking about sort of your favorite films. You have a spreadsheet somewhere with how many films that you saw this year.
Yeah, I track every theatrical release in the U.S. I use a couple different sources. My favorite for putting together critical reviews is Metacritic. A lot of people like Rotten Tomatoes. My favorite is Metacritic.com. So I will read critical reactions to between 500 and 600 movies a year. And then my goal is to see 100. So I'm obsessed. My biggest obsessions, besides new music and radio, are baseball and movies. And so once the World Series concludes, I see about 100 films between then and the Oscars. So I'm just about to turn the page next week as spring training starts and, you know, go Rockies. But in the meantime, yeah, I think I've seen about 130 2018 theatrical releases. And then for me, in addition to like best pictures, best documentaries, best comedies, the other big thing that I look for is what I call popcorn lung, which is it's actually sort of a joke. It's a sort of a dark joke, because people who work in microwave popcorn factories have actually come down with this condition from the chemicals that get put into microwave popcorn.
That is dark.
So it's sort of a dark thing, but I'm so obsessed with film and such a popcorn snob that I have been using that term popcorn lung for a long time. And so what I did for The Sun this year was look beyond the Oscars. I think we could probably all agree that there are a lot of great films up for nominations on Sundays, on Sunday. And then for me, I was sort of interested in, well, what else have people not heard about? And, you know, of course, you think about, for a documentary, the significance of getting that Oscar stage can just be huge. Even, you know, even if you don't win, just to get that mention across the world. Well, then what about those documentaries that don't make it into the final five at the Oscars? They have almost no publicity. You know, I mean, at least this year there have been some kind of musician focused, artist focused documentaries that have gotten a little bit more attention. But So I think that's one of the interesting things to do with the column Inches in the Sun is hopefully point people to some other interesting stuff. Or another example is there were a lot of great films that took on racism in policing. So obviously Black Klansman was the most high profile, but I wrote about several other films that I really think people should check out if you're interested in looking at, you know, what it's like to be a young person of color in this country. And I thought there were some really powerful films in that department as well.
Cool. So Bob and Kathy, since this is we are talking about the paper in theory, even if we're mostly talking about film today. Just a couple of months or about a month ago, I asked the two of you to come up with a list for New Year's of films that people might have missed, that you guys didn't see a lot of attendance to. So in a similar sort of vein as the going beyond the Oscars, and in fact, I think some of these were even probably up for Oscars, what were some films that you noticed kind of flying under the radar at the Crystal Theater in the last year that maybe were worth seeing?
Hostiles.
which I don't
Hostiles
know.
Hostiles came out in the spring, a good Western with, again, a great performance by Christian Bale, Rosamund Pike.
And a brutal opening scene that some people walked out on. So,
well, and Wes Studi was in town to do voice work for a documentary for a festival, and then he dropped into Katie and Kay, so we got a chance to talk to him. Yeah, yeah. I agree with you. That film was totally missed. It's really powerful.
Cinematically, it was really strong, and it was just a good story, good acting, but just went nowhere, kind of. Colette was another one that we both really liked. I think we were both kind of surprised by how much we liked it. Good performances, good cinematography, just a good period piece, good acting. Dominic Cooper, I thought, should have gotten a nod for that part. He was kind of playing Colette's flamboyant husband.
The acting was really good in that movie. Keira Knightley. A lot of people have a Keira Knightley problem.
Do they?
It's like popcorn lung.
Well, she's kind of either like her or you don't.
So a lot of people just stayed away based on that. And I'm not a crazy Keira Knightley fan either, but she was really good. And she's actually she's in a lot of movies now. She's kind of broadening her.
Do period pieces do well at the Crystal?
Depends on the movie.
Yeah, it depends.
Well, how about The Favorite? Well, we that is a Best Picture nomination.
Yes, we're talking period piece.
And I think that one's also one that has sometimes been divisive.
Divisive
on
absolutely.
How people experienced it. What was the assessment for the two of you?
I liked it. I think Bob liked it.
Yeah, I liked it.
We both liked it.
Emma Stone was, I think, my favorite part of the movie because she played a kind of a wicked, an innocent wicked, which is against type, I think.
Go ahead, Kathy.
What I liked about it was there was a lot of insulting going on, and the insults were kind of viciously wonderful.
It reminded me on the subject of Keira Knightley, actually, Pride and Prejudice cover that they did had a solid sort of vicious banter thing going on, not to the same extent.
Yeah, this was kind of some knife
Phantom
twisting.
Thread maybe would be edgy to that extent.
Yeah, I know a lot of people hated it.
Well,
a lot of people said it was disgusting. It was the worst movie they'd ever seen. And
the favorite?
Yeah. And it was, when it won Golden Globe, or it didn't. Did it win Golden Globe for Best Comedy? Get on it, Gavin.
Okay, Gavin's doing the research.
Anyway, it was nominated in the musical comedy category, and since it wasn't a musical, people just really thought it was a comedy, and it was a dark comedy.
Well, I remember The Lobster having a very similar response.
Mm-hmm.
Hated it.
Did you? I really enjoyed it.
Oh, liked it.
You didn't like it, Gavin?
I don't like any of his films. I can't wait to see The Favorite. I'm hoping I can finally like one of his films.
The Lobster. You need to reconsider The Lobster.
Hated it.
I think that part of the problem with The Lobster was expectation. The trailer, if you watched it, made you feel like you were in for this kind of quirky comedy, and it was a lot darker than that, and so was The Favorite. And with a similar sort of, they don't necessarily convey that when they're, if you're not familiar with his work, expectation goes a long way. If you go into a animated film expecting a simple little romp with Spider-Man and you get, edgy animation and overwhelming visuals, you may not enjoy the Spider-Verse. But
I think Spider-Verse was amazing.
I was really impressed. I think it's a...
Disappointed.
Oh, there you go, Bob.
Wow. Amazing. Well, really quick, Olivia Colman won her Golden Globe for Best Performance by an Actress, but I don't believe that The Favorite won the Best Picture ones.
For me...
Could I talk about the Spider-Verse for a second?
Sure.
Okay, so, the way I look at movies is... if they have legs, for one thing, if people are set, people just keep going. And Coco was an animated movie that did that. And I felt sorry that we didn't play it. And I thought Spider-Verse would be up to that level. And it wasn't even close. So that's why I was very disappointed.
Whereas I felt like it really sort of seized what animation is good at and didn't try to be... We have all these animated... these live-action features that are honestly animated, they're just animated to photorealism anymore, you know, the Jungle Book and the new Lion King coming out, that it was fun to see something really seize the medium and not try to be photorealistic, to play with just going beyond the bounds of what we see every day. I liked that aspect.
I liked his costume later in the movie. I liked his black Spider-Man costume.
I thought it needed some editing.
Our fifth member made it, if you want to say hi.
Hi.
It's Beto.
Beto, yeah.
Yep. Who ran the Cine Club out of the KD&K building last year.
Yes.
I don't know, were any of the films you were showing last year current to last year, or...
I know with Florida Project, technically that was the previous year's cinema, but that I was so glad that got an extra chance to be exhibited, just because such a powerful, amazing, interesting film.
Honestly, and that's the one film I made it to with Cine Club. It's one of my favorite films I've seen all year.
Really?
Well, I thought it was really thought provoking and unusual in its subject matter. You sound surprised. So
I'm always surprised when a film that I like a lot is liked by anybody. Because at this point, it's like I am very... I feel like my taste is not aligned with the majority by now. But
You're outside the mainstream, aren't you?
Well, Bob's giving me a thumbs down, so I definitely screwed something up.
No. I'm sorry.
He's going back to
Florida Project. The kid was such a brat.
Did such a good job of acting.
Again, I thought
a brat.
That was a movie that was way overrated. But that could be me. You know, I know I've watched movies that I've hated, and then I see them 5 years later, and I think, wow, that's a good movie. So this whole thing about people's tastes in movies is very... Yeah.
I want to know, of the Oscar nominees, for the folks in the room, which of the Oscar nominees do you think were no good? Is there anything that was nominated for an Oscar this year that doesn't belong in your opinion?
I personally think there are two of them that are weak. Ooh, we got a caller coming in. Let's see if that's that. Somebody's got an opinion. Katie and Kay, you're on the air.
Hey there, Will. This is Jake.
Hey, Liz. Hey, Jake. How you doing?
I'm doing well. And you mentioned the film The Lobster.
Uh-huh.
I was going to mention you in relation to that, Lynn. I was very close.
It's the most disturbing film I've ever seen.
Did you ever see A Clockwork Orange?
No.
Oh, okay.
But
you said that over and over again.
Barring that, The Lobster is the most disturbing film I've ever seen. And there's another film by the same director, and I can't remember the name of it right now.
It's The Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway.
The divisive nature of film in this regard, that we have people in this very studio, some of which really enjoyed that film and some didn't, and then the same on
just about every movie.
Probably so. Lynn, anything else you want to add on the film run this year?
No, I can't remember anything right now.
Okay, well, so we have another opinion on The Lobster. So if you were thinking of going back and rewatching that, proceed with caution. But I think it's worth a try myself. But.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Lynn. Anyway.
What were the two that you think were weak?
The obvious two. The Bohemian Rhapsody and Black Panther. Both great films. Great blockbusters. Bohemian Rhapsody really strong on the score end, obviously, and on its sound production. Definitely things that it warrants Oscars for, just potentially not the best picture Oscar. Black Panther, really well put together. I like some of the social commentary in it, but it just doesn't stack up to some of the other items in that list for me.
I have seen neither of those, but
Haven't seen either, and I haven't seen Vice yet, so I can't speak to that. But
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I only have seen like three this year because I don't know, like Oscars. I mean, they give an Oscar to A Beautiful Mind. Which, I mean,
who, they give an Oscar to Crash.
Who cares about at
that's
this point?
That's a whole other conversation.
But yeah,
what was that Ben Affleck movie?
Argo?
Argo, yeah.
That was better than Crash, though.
Well, everybody jumps on Crash. Crash was really? Okay. Argo was a big nothing. It was like a
like
whole
most
nothing.
Affleck movies, yeah. Well, I agree with you on Bohemian Rhapsody. I absolutely love the music of Queen, and I didn't realize how much I do until I saw that movie. That movie totally nails the portrayal of Freddie Mercury and the excitement that creating music together had for that band and how it made those guys friends. And that part of the story to me was totally fabulous. All the music scenes, all the performance scenes, like you said, the sound mixing was fabulous in Bohemian Rhapsody. To me, it's a teeny bopper PG-13 take on a subject that's much more interesting
exactly.
than we got in that script. And so to me, it's way overhyped, but I think Rami Malek did a good job. And I think the film is worth watching with your speakers turned up and, mm-hmm. and enjoying the music. It left me wanting to go back, and I've never heard Freddie Mercury's solo albums. You know, some of that stuff I thought was really, it was for me, it was more like, this is going to set me adrift into learning more about the music, mm-hmm. but I don't think it's a very good film. So that's my take on that.
And I'm not sure I would have put The Favorite on that list. If you're looking for a period piece, I like Mary Queen of Scots better.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, Roma, I wouldn't put on this list. It's nominated for Best Foreign Language Film, and if you have to put it in the Oscars, that's where it belongs.
Which, as we've already discussed, yeah. And I'd like to get into a little bit the distribution question. If I was judging these films personally, solely on how much I enjoyed them, how much I think they pushed the envelope of the and used the medium, Roma would be at the top of my list. I loved its sound, the way it used the surround sound. I thought the cinematography was excellent, and it didn't just lean on that. It had excellent acting. It had a really personal feel to it that pulled me through on both an emotional and a sort of aesthetic level. I do hesitate to wish for it in the top because it had such a limited theatrical release, and it was made by most people saw it on a tiny screen on Netflix, which that doesn't feel like the Oscars to me.
That was by design. They've fulfilled the requirements of having it on screen for the time period they needed to qualify for Oscar consideration. And I think in a way it's just kind of gaming the system. You know, Netflix is a TV and whatever other device you're going to watch it on, streaming service. So to give the top prize to a picture that is only in there because it fulfilled the requirements to get there,
mm-hmm.
Just feels wrong to me. You know, I think there's enough theaters face enough competition with regular theatrical releases, and then you throw streaming in there as more competition. It doesn't blur the line between the two. For me, it kind of erases it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Oscars were, you know, the purpose of the Oscars was to promote the movie business. That's, you know, it was to bring attention, and it still is. So, you know, and then they look at how box office is affected, and, you know, it's just it's a self-serving
mm-hmm.
thing for the movie industry. So you could even make a case that, well, why would you give it to Netflix? They're not in the movie industry. They're in the streaming industry.
Mm-hmm. You were nodding at me, though, when I was talking about Roma. So what's your take?
I loved it. I think I'm probably partial, but not because, I mean, I'm originally Mexican and it's a Mexican film, but... I think that's very, like, I think The Shape of Water is not that great. So I don't think that's my bias here. But, yeah, I think as far as immersive experiences that I had at the movie theater, because I was fortunate enough to watch it at the movie theater, I think there are just a few that can top Roma for
mm-hmm.
what it made me feel and how it
but I just don't think it deserves the top prize of the uh-huh. movie industry. Give it an Emmy. Give it the Emmy's top prize. That's Television uh-huh. Academy.
Yep. Yeah. I think also, I don't know, like, since the Academy is formed by professionals in the media, I think professionals want to work in daring, interesting stuff. And Hollywood studios, I mean, they're doing a pretty crappy job at. Right.
But there are a lot of independent studios that put out a lot of movies as well.
Yeah, and
just a little bit on Netflix, and you know, mm-hmm. my understanding of Netflix, you know, the head of Netflix a couple of years ago made a statement that his goal mm-hmm. was to put movie theaters out of business.
Oh wow.
He also said that his son's favorite movie is Lawrence of Arabia, and he's only ever seen it on his phone. So this is where, yeah, but I think this has changed some from, because when we booked Roma, you know, it was kind of a leap for us to, you know, to, mm-hmm. but we figured, you know, it'd be interesting to do. And they made it available. And what the guy who was contracting for Netflix, mm-hmm. you know, distributing it, said is that this is like Netflix is putting their foot in the water and wants to get into theatrical distribution. And this is kind of the fact that they made it available to us was their first step. They made it available in a very curious way. We could play it on the day that it was released for streaming. That was the day. If we didn't open it on that day, we couldn't play it. So, you know, it was kind of a, like an odd thing.
Yes.
But, so I think I have hope for Netflix, Amazon's independent studio.
Disney's about to launch their big streaming service, but that's not really the same because they're already a studio.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, there's you know, Fox Searchlight, there's Annapurna, there's Roadside Attractions. There's all these small independent that are not making Hollywood movies. And the argument for why he went to Netflix was that he felt that it would get a wider viewership because a black and white movie in you know, with subtitles,
yes,
was not going to draw anybody to the theater.
Which is true.
I don't think it's true. No. It is true, but the way this movie was hyped, I think that, you know, it could have had its theatrical run. It's all about hype, you know. Yeah. And this movie, right from the get-go, the critics were just loving this movie, which is why when I saw it, I was a little let down. I did not like it, but. Mm-hmm. It didn't, you know, to me, a movie that totally engages me, whether it's, you know, high art or commercial, is a good movie, mm-hmm. you know, which is why I liked A Star Is Born.
Interesting.
You know, it was just entertaining, you know, they did a good job of, you know, telling a story that we knew exactly where it was going, but they just did it well. And it was, you know, it was engaging.
So is that your top pick, Bob?
I'm afraid so, yeah, at this point.
And I was underwhelmed. I found A Star Born to be, Lady Gaga, I would say, as a clear, you know, star of that film. I found the plot and the cinema a little bit, the visuals, underwhelming. It was, it felt mundane.
Yeah, like I think I was admiring the craft, too. I was admiring the fact that he did, you know, he directed it. He learned how to sing and play the guitar. And
he deepened his voice.
You know, he tried to be.
I was admiring that part of it, and I think that helped me like it more.
Yeah. Kathy, what's your top pick?
I hate to agree with Bob. I think I would pick that also, just because as you referenced earlier, expectations. Uh-huh. I expected not to like it. I knew the story. I'd seen the original. I thought, you know, the two of them, big deal. Vanity project for Bradley Cooper. But I was pleasantly surprised and engaged the whole time.
And so Star Is Born plays tonight at the Crystal, just coincidentally. I know that's not why you
make
that has nothing to do with it.
I know you guys movie taste too well to think that. But so tonight, and then is tonight the last chance to see it with you guys before the Oscars?
No, it also plays Saturday at 4:45.
Great. So for me, in terms of the things Oscar nominated, I loved Isle of Dogs. I really thought RBG was good, although it's probably just one of 10 of my favorite documentaries this year. It's the only documentary nominated that I actually had a chance to see. Uh-huh. I really thought Black Panther and Spider-Man Spider-Verse were great. I actually liked Solo, the Star Wars movie. A lot of people didn't.
I didn't see it.
It's nominated. And then I thought Roma and Black Klansman were great. I also thought Green Book and First Man and Bohemian Rhapsody are all worth watching. But for me, my top film that I've seen of the things nominated for Best Picture is Vice. And I avoided Vice for a long time. I thought, how in the world can you have a comedy that humanizes Dick Cheney? There, I thought there was no way. And I finally went and saw it, you know, and kind of wanted to decide for myself. And I truly think it's a brilliant film. And the reason is, and just in one sentence here, is it humanizes Dick Cheney so that you see some of the good qualities in him that I never would have imagined when I hated his politics. And then I think it allows the critique and the sort of sarcastic takedown of Cheney and his legacy to have that much more impact when you see him as a complex character who is not just a villain. I think it was a brilliant way to not only appeal to people who knew a lot of this information already, but also hopefully to let younger audiences have a little bit better glimpse into the real world that preceded the Obama administration. Uh-huh.
Well, that'll be interesting because I'm working on Sunday at the Crystal. I will see Vice just in time for the Academy Awards, which is the last one I haven't seen. So I was going to say my own choice because of the politics, as much as I loved Roma, as much as I loved Green Book, has got to be Black Klansman.
That would be my second choice.
A fully enjoyable romp with a lot of the political overtones we've talked about in some of the other movies, just really well done. And you guys have mentioned that Spike Lee was what passed over for Driving Miss Daisy back in the day.
He's never won an Oscar.
Right.
He didn't get nominated for Do the Right Thing, which he should have, but it wasn't recognized for what it was back in the day.
The year that won
Best Picture was that year was Driving Miss Daisy.
Right.
So this year he's nominated, but he's up against Green Book, which is kind of a reverse Driving Miss Daisy, which he couldn't express himself on.
But he wasn't even nominated the year he
did it right, exactly.
He wasn't even nominated.
Right.
So I would be happy if Black Klansman won. I think he's due.
Yeah.
And it would be nice to see him win director.
So, Beto, Roma top choice or?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing The Favorite win, but I know it's not gonna happen. But I am a Yorgos Lanthimos fan, and I just loved The Favorite. I had one of the most fun times I've had in a movie theater in a long time. Like, I was laughing all the way, and I kept laughing when I was leaving the theater because of the faces of the people
exactly
that were leaving the theater. And I don't know, I don't think film is an artifact to make you happy necessarily. Like, you have to give it a chance to upset you and to push you to the limits. And I like it when films do that, and The Favorite did that, and I just loved it. Actually, I think I would prefer to see The Favorite win, but I know that's not going to happen. And
well, Shape of Water won last year, so.
Yeah, but I mean.
Yeah, anything's possible.
Yeah. Is there bestiality in The Favorite?
No.
Okay.
In terms of being a little bit on the edge.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I think Roma would be a fun surprise. Like, normally, for me, the Oscars are like the Thanksgiving dinner. You know, like, you can skip it if you like film, but you are normally not, like, happy doing it. And surprises are the only thing that keep it tolerable for me. And that would be, like, a very nice thing to have it win for all the reasons that we've talked about. And, yeah.
Well, I'd like to see some surprises in the acting categories also.
Okay. So we'll see that. We got about 30 seconds left. So any final thoughts?
I just want to double check. Cine Club 2019. Any plans yet for KD&K? And KD&K is going to hopefully continue to do some member only movie night stuff.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, we want to continue to encourage people to get to the Crystal. But any current plans for Cine Club, or is it to be decided?
Yeah, it's to be decided till Riley comes back.
Okay. Thank you all for joining me. Any last thoughts before we turn it over?
Yeah, I was hoping to hear Beto's reasons for why he so liked Roma.
I think he touched on that.
He said it was,
using hand gestures.
We still have.
Yeah, we have like 10 seconds.
You can do it.
I loved it.
Okay. That's what it comes down to. It's all subjective in the end.
It is.
Thank you all for joining me. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And whether you're watching the Oscars or not on Sunday, keep watching the movies.